different. Be better. Be kind.
And go vegan. And this is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. That revolution starts right now. You're listening to The Real Issue on KZFR Radio. This is Sue Hildebrand. And The Real Issue is a public affairs talk show. We're here every Wednesday night from 6 until 7 p.m. And we can be heard live through the internet at kzfr.org. You can also listen to our archives right from the website. Just find the show, and all of the previous shows are listed right there. Tonight on The Real Issue, we will talk about a report released last week that places the city of Chico in seventh place from last in terms of community well-being. The release of this report has caused quite a stir locally, with reactions ranging from disbelief in the findings to questions regarding the methodology to validation that maybe Chico is not as great of a place as we thought. Earlier today, I spoke with the director of research about that annual study, and he explained the methodology of data collection and evaluation. He also offered many specific details with respect to the responses from people in Chico. We'll then open the phones to get your reaction to that study, as well as your ideas on how we can best interpret the findings and work towards increasing our community's well-being. So to begin, earlier today, I spoke with the senior, with the director of research of the project that that issued that study. State of American Well-Being, 2016 Community Well-Being Rankings, which has caused a lot of talk in the Chico area, with many people in disbelief in the findings. The Well-Being Index measures Americans' perceptions of their lives and their daily experiences through five interrelated elements that make up well-being, and these include sense of purpose, social relationships, financial security, relationship to community, and physical health. According to the survey responses, the city of Chico falls seventh from the very last place in a pool of 189 communities across the country in terms of well-being. And to put this into context, the city of Chico ranks just above Flint, Michigan. To get a better understanding of how this survey was conducted and how, as a community, we can learn from these results, I have on the phone from Omaha, Nebraska, the research director of the Gallup Healthways Wellbeing Index, Dan Witters. Welcome to The Real Issue, Dan Witters.
Thanks for having me.
So this study, the State of American Wellbeing, it's a 25-year project initiated back in 2008. Give us a sense of what's the purpose of this study.
Well, the purpose, ultimately, is to help improve the well-being of American adults. Functionally, what we're doing is an ongoing poll, as you noted. We're in the field 350 days out of every single year, and we release reports like this all the time, although the city rankings and the state rankings that come out every spring garner a lot of attention for obvious reasons. And really, it's a call to action. It's to get people's attention. It's to try and drive change for the better, to improve not just the well-being of people, but ultimately the outcomes associated with that, things like healthcare utilization, things like unplanned absenteeism from work, things like performance, both at home and at the job. Those are all things that relate to well-being. That's why we do it.
And it, the interesting part for me, this study, the State of American Well-Being, it reflects the perceptions of well-being. So talk about testing for the perceptions and how that's different from simply looking at, you know, the hard data, such as unemployment rates, housing prices, things like that.
Well, sure. I mean, this is all subjective well-being. We don't ask people, do you think you have high well-being or not? We do ask them a 55-question survey that hits on all these different topics that you alluded to across all five of what we consider to be the essential elements. So we'll hit all the blocking and tackling. You know, do you smoke? What's your height and weight? What kind of disease states have you had? Do you have physical pain? Have you been told by a doctor or nurse that you have depression? All the kind of physical wellness things, exercise habits, produce consumption habits, etc. But then, yes, we'll also ask them about how proud they are of the community they live in. Do they feel safe in their community? We'll ask them about the love they have in their life. Do you have somebody who looks out for your health, who cares about your health? We'll ask them about their financial well-being, which isn't about income so much as managing their wealth and living within their means. So we have questions that get at that. And then we have those purpose questions, things like, you know, in your career in life, whatever that might be, do you like what you do? Do you get to use your strengths to do what you do best? Do you learn and grow? So we ask pretty pointed questions, pretty specific questions that have all statistically earned their place at the table inside of our well-being model that have all proven that collectively, in concert with one another, they do a really good job of predicting a wide variety of outcomes, community level, business level, and health level that Gallup and Healthways are interested in.
And it's interesting. It's so fascinating because you're basically speaking to so many folks that I've heard from in the last week that say, how can you possibly test for this idea of well-being, especially in this amazing community of Chico, California? But I do want to go a little bit deeper in just a minute into that. But Dan Witters, talk about The methodology of this, there's been a lot of skepticism about how you acquire your data, but we all know that Gallup is very reputable. How do you do this?
Yeah. So thanks for asking. Since January 2nd, 2008, we're at 2.5 million completed interviews and counting. It is an ongoing national poll of American adults. Outbound phone, random digit dial. So these are live Gallup interviewers that are making these phone calls. We don't set any kind of targets or quotas for any given city. We do a nationwide 500 every single night. It's landline and cell. We were at 60% in 2015 and 2016 cell phones. That was just 15% back in 2008. But as ever greater percentages of us become cell only, we have to keep lifting the bar on that. So 60% cell, 40% landline, and English-Spanish, of course. That doesn't give us full coverage of the U.S. population. It's about 96%. Not everybody has a phone. Not everybody speaks English or Spanish. About 1% of American adults are either going to be deaf or going to be severely hearing impaired, so they're not going to be able to participate in an outbound phone survey. But the methodology is as good as it gets in phone-based random digit dial. It's the same thing that the Gallup poll does. And then the data are uniquely weighted for every single city. What the weights do, the weights look at the demography of the city, age, race and ethnicity, gender, etc., income. What we'll do then is we'll turn around and we'll weight our data against those particular targets. That corrects for the imperfectness of the randomness of the sample. So, for example, if we don't get as many people of Hispanic origin or descent in our sample as we would expect based on what we know of Chico's demography, those folks will count as a little more than one person in our final data. On the other hand, say, for example, we have too many seniors. There's more people over the age of 65 than what we would expect.
Mm-hmm.
The weights will bring them down a little, so they count as a little less than one person. Again, that's called iterative proportional weighting. It's what the Gallup poll does, and we use the exact same methodology with the Gallup Healthways Well-Being Index. So all of that is meant to give us a sample that gives us the best possible estimates of what it looks like inside of any given metro, including Chico. For the 2015-2016 time period, we had 338 randomly selected adults, and so they make the cut. If you're above 300, we'll report. If it's under 300 completed interviews, that's below the line in the sand that we've drawn, and we won't report. So we wound up with close to 190 cities every year that we report on.
And so, Dan Witters, just to be clear, you said if it's above 338, then you have a good, reliable, random sample. And so do you know offhand how many responses you have from the Chico area?
Yeah. The 300 is the minimum number for any given city anywhere to get a report. Chico had 338 completed interviews.
Got it.
So it was 38 above that line, which means they made the cut. Chico usually does, and it got reported on again this year.
Got it. And if you are just tuning in, you're listening to The Real Issue on KZFR Radio. I have on the phone with me Dan Witters, who is the research director of the Gallup Healthways Well-Being Index, which just reported, just released its annual report placing Chico seventh from last, the report called State of American Well-Being. Dan Witters, aside from one of the things is to continue a little bit in terms of reliability of the data collection and analysis, aside from a handful of communities like Naples, Florida, in, you know, Naples has once again, you know, occupies the number one slot for two consecutive years, it seems unusual for communities to remain in their proper ranking from year to year. And so I'm wondering if you could respond to maybe a critique of this to say, well, how could it change so much from year to year? Is this data really reliable if everybody's moving around?
Well, at the top and the bottom, they don't move around much. I mean, we have the usual suspects are there pretty much every year, year in and year out. Occasionally, there'll be an exception. Somebody will jump into the highest 10 that we haven't seen before, and the same on the lowest 10. But if you look up and down that list, the Fort Smiths, Arkansas, the Hickory Lenoir in North Carolina, Huntington, Ashland, West Virginia, a place we've talked about a lot over the years, Topeka, Kansas, Flint, Toledo, Ohio. I mean, these are places that overall, collectively, have low well-being, and they show up year in and year out. Conversely, as you noted, Naples is a really high well-being place, but there's along with a lot of other ones, Boulder, Santa Cruz, Charlottesville, Virginia, San Luis Obispo, Northport, Sarasota, Bradenton, Florida, Fort Collins, Honolulu. Those are all places among several others that are consistently very high. So we don't, I'll push back a little. We don't see a lot of movement from one year to the next among the top and the bottom. Our elite well-being places are pretty well entrenched. And of course, with each, it's all just a sample. It's not a census of everybody. So, of course, there's a margin of error around these numbers. These are our best estimates. But each year, when our best estimates come really close to the estimates that came before, that lends credence to it. It lends validity to it because it demonstrates a repeatability in what we're finding. And that's the case here. I mean, out of 190 MSAs metropolitan statistical areas, this is the broader metro that we reported on last year, Chico was ranked 186, 183rd out of 189 this year. So you're never going to expect it to be identical. Of course.
Sure.
Human beings are complicated critters, and this is just a sample, but it's consistent.
I don't know if you've mentioned this already, if it was in the, anything above 300 responses, how was Chico chosen? Was it simply a matter of 338 people answered their phone and answered the questions?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Right. Okay. So we have data for every one horse town in America because it's every year we do 177,000 interviews nationwide. But if you're under that 300 mark, you don't get reported just for stability results reasons.
Right.
So roughly, if there's around 250,000 people in your metropolitan area, you're probably going to get a report. When it gets smaller than that, then the odds get smaller and smaller that we're going to get 300 out of your area.
Okay. All right. Well,
that's kind of the cutoff.
That makes a lot of sense. So it sounds like the methodology is pretty darn reliable. So I want to, just in the last little bit of time that I have with you, is I want to kind of ask you, I want to preface this question with how do we as a community interpret this data? How do we move forward? And my question really is to in Chico, this has been surprising. I don't know why we didn't talk about it so much last year, but everyone I talk with is talking about these findings, and it contradicts, I think, our community's self-image. I mean, we even talk about mm-hmm. the Chico way, where, we have this unique lifestyle and this unique way of solving problems, and it's sort of jarring to see us fall on these rankings so low. And Chico has fallen very low in every one of those five elements. And so if we could talk through each one of those elements in a way that you could suggest to the Chico community, how do we interpret this? How do we move forward? So to begin with, you mentioned earlier the idea of this sense of purpose. The low findings, how do we interpret that as a community? What do we need to do?
Yeah, purpose is probably my favorite of the five elements. It reaches into the other four more than any of the other four reach into their respective four remaining elements. And by reaches in, I mean it mathematically relates to them. So where purpose is strong, that really is going to provide a lift, not just to well-being within that element, but across the entire thing. When purpose is low, then it'll have the opposite effect. Purpose is having the right career for you in your life, whatever that may be, including as a retiree, as a student, as a stay-at-home parent or house manager. Do you get to use your strengths to do what you do best every day? About 65% of adults in Chico agree with that statement. That's 159th in the nation. That's a real important kind of bell cow metric where it's a good indicator of whether you're going to be a high well-being place or not. Another real bell cow is learning or doing something interesting every day. That's a real vanguard of high well-being cities. High well-being places tend to be intellectually lively places and score very high. Chico, 138th in the nation in that, about 63% of the people who live there agree with that statement. The other one that probably tosses the greatest sand in the gears for Chico is setting and reaching goals. One of our questions is, in the past 12 months, you've reached most of your goals. Which sounds kind of trite, but it's really important aspect well-being. It does a lot of heavy lifting in our models. Just 48% of folks inside of Chico agree with that statement. That's 188 out of 189 cities nationwide. So as far as purpose and concern is concerned, those are some of the big ones that, you know, are kind of holding it back from from going to the next level in well-being.
I wouldn't have guessed that from, I guess, my little bubble inside the bubble of Chico. We're an interesting community. Dan Witters, I don't want to ask you to come into the Chico community and tell us what to do differently, but do you have any sense of what are some of the problems in communities that score so low on sense of purpose?
Yeah, well, with purpose, there's a reason why college towns or cities with a heavy academic presence tend to do so well in purpose, and that's because they really do well on learning or doing something interesting every day. Cities that leverage that academic presence really capitalize on that, and that creates a real lift to their purpose scores. What the colleges do is they provide art galleries and performing arts and lecture series and sports and things that are interesting, things that get people thinking about things other than their day-to-day lives. One really good strategy, I think, for any city is to draw upon that. And by draw upon it, I mean formally up your game as far as outreach between the academic institutions inside of your area and the people who live there. Get people coming and getting involved in the things that you're up to and the things that you offer, regardless as to whether or not they have anything to do with the college or the university. High well-being cities do that very effectively, and that helps their purpose scores.
That's interesting. There's always this ongoing conversation about how do we better connect the university life with the community life. So I'm imagining a lot of listeners right now are nodding their head and, you know, scratching their chin, thinking we've got to be able to do better. Dan Witters, I'm looking at the time, and I'd love to get to every one of the elements, but it seems like I'm going to run out of time here. Let's talk about the social relationships. That one really floored me in terms of we are, I think, a pretty tight-knit community in a lot of ways, and Chico scored very low in that one.
Yeah, there are some things to really like about Chico's profile. Chico's 15th best in the nation for your relationship with your spouse, partner, or closest friend is stronger than ever. That's a real high-end metric. 81% of adults in Chico agree with that statement. You know, again, that's way up there. Your top decile, top 10% in the nation for that metric. And I love it. That's a great feather in the cap for Chico. A couple of places, though, that drag it down are a little more tangible. One is you always make time for regular trips or vacations with family and friends. And that one, again, it sounds a little trite, but it really isn't. That makes a big difference in how people execute in their lives, makes a big difference in how they think about and evaluate their lives generally, makes a big difference in how they perform at work. links actually very highly with both voluntary and involuntary terminations in the workplace. People that make time for their vacations are more attached to their place of work and, ergo, their community. Just 39.7% agree with that statement. That one's dead last, 189th in the nation as far as making time for regular trips or vacations. The other one that I'd give you is the, and this is another one of those real bell cow metrics. Sorry, I'm a vegetarian who was born and raised in Omaha, so I still speak in terms of cattle metaphors. The bell cow is the one that walks and the cowbell clanks and the other cows follow, right? That's the bell cow. And I've got some favorite bell cows in this instrument.
Thanks for clarifying.
This one is someone in your life always encourages you to be healthy. It's the accountability partner, a buddy system metric. And it's a big part of social well-being. Obviously, it crosses over into other aspects of well-being, too. But just 72% in Chico agree with that statement. That's 156th best in the nation. So it's pretty low. And again, that one creates a drag in the social score, too. So score well on the close relationships, and I love that about Chico's profile, but the accountability partner is low compared to most others, and so is making time for trips or vacations.
Right.
That's at the very bottom compared to 188 others.
And if you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Real Issue on KZFR Radio. Dan Witters, now that it's become very obvious to me that you're sitting there with all of the data about Chico in particular, if you could, in just the last few minutes, if you could give us, you know, your best analysis, since you're looking at all of the responses from the Chico area, what else is interesting for us? What should we be excited about, and what should we be concerned about?
What I love about Chico is Chico is 10th best in the nation in exercise. Okay, squarely in top decile. We'll ask the question, how many days in the last week have you gotten in 30 minutes or more of exercise? And then we do the cutoff at three or more days. 61% of adults in Chico report that they hit three or more days with at least 30 minutes a day. 10th best in the nation, which is a real, real good one to have. The smoking's not bad either. 17.7% is under the national average. Nationally, back in the 1950s, it was about 45% of American adults were smokers. That's come down. It's finally come down slowly under 20%. Chico sitting at 17.7 is good. Not a lot of people lighting up. One thing that does stick out about Chico, however, is the smokeless tobacco. 7.5% report using smokeless tobacco. That's seventh highest in the nation. So while lighting up is really not bad at all, top 40% certainly, the smokeless tobacco chew's way up there, and that's a problem that's going to really create a drag on you, especially downstream.
Right.
Another one that I'll give you a few others. I know we're short on time, but one really big one is in the last 7 days, you felt active and productive every day. This is a real high energy metric, and it's another one of those bell cows. It's really linked to a lot of different things. Where communities that score high on that metric tend to be high well-being places. Communities that don't. And inside of Chico, just 61% agree with that statement, 21% disagree with that statement. It's second from the bottom nationally. And so are you energetic, or do you feel active and productive? That's one that's, that's a problem for Chico. And then I'll give you one last one.
Sure.
And that's feeling safe and secure. That links to lots of different things regarding the well-being, up to and including feeling like you have a safe place to go to exercise, feeling like you might be safe walking down to the farmer's market, you know, feeling safe just going for a walk in the evening. If you feel safe and secure, it really greases the wheels for well-being. If you don't, well, the opposite effect happens. And inside of Chico, just 68% agree with that statement. About 17% disagree with that statement. It's 14th lowest in feeling safe and secure out of 189 nationally. And so, you know, there are strategies there, and that smart strategies, like say mobile farmers markets, is a great idea. Where it's like the ice cream man, only you're bringing the fresh fruits and vegetables throughout the city, including in lower income, higher risk parts of town. Have an off-duty cop that comes along to improve the sense of safety and security. People want to eat fresh fruits and vegetables. Sometimes they don't feel that safe going to get them. Same thing with safe places to exercise. The more that you can try and put an infrastructure in place that allows for that kind of safety to be there, the better off you're going to be. That's why walking school buses are so successful for the kids. You know, they walk in groups with their parents. It gets them some exercise every morning to and from school, and they also get to do it in a safe way because they're doing it as a large group of people. You know, look for innovative ways to overcome security issues while simultaneously enhancing well-being. That's what the best well-being cities do.
Mm-hmm. Dan Witters, you have the most amazing job. I would like your job when you're finished with it. It just sounds fascinating that you get to learn very intimately about all of these communities mm-hmm. all across the country. Where can we get that kind of data so we can look at those responses? Is that possible?
Sure. Well, the report itself is a good place to start, and you can go on to healthways.com to download the report. It's free. Gallup.com is a great resource. Just a treasure trove of well-being related content that gets steadily put onto that site. It's totally free. You can just hit the site and start navigating around.
You know, actually what I'm wondering is all of this amazing information that you just gave us about, very specifically about Chico being the 15th highest mm-hmm. about interpersonal relationship, intimate relationships. Is that available to the public?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's available for purchase. I mean,
it is
available.
Okay.
That's part of the business model, but what we do let people buy what we call Gallup Analytics, and you can get it, be an annual subscriber or ongoing, and then you get the full data set for right. everything, including worldwide data for comparison points,
huh.
part of the Gallup World Poll.
That might be good information. It might be a good purchase for our Chico City Council.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And it's priced to sell, so
great.
It's easy for them to look into if they're interested in getting all the specifics on Chico.
Dan Witters, any last words that you could share with us, as people are pretty frustrated, I think, or surprised or in disbelief? What can you, last words for Chico listeners to this radio station?
Well, I would just say this, that having holistic well-being, that is high well-being across all the elements, is better than just physical wellness alone. Physical is better than nothing at all. Holistic well-being is better than just physical. So as you think about trying to elevate your well-being, focusing on all of them, that creates a real synergy, a real synergistic effect to really lift those boats. Beyond that, I would just say that every single city in America, even our highest well-being places like Naples or Boulder, Colorado, there's a range in well-being inside of every single one of them. You have real high well-being individuals, medium well-being individuals, and people that have very low well-being. And Chico is the same thing. So you need not look outside of the metro area of Chico to find great best practices. You can find it right there inside of the city. Look across the state of California. We report in 19 different cities. Santa Cruz is right down the road. It's only a half-day drive away. San Luis Obispo, Santa Maria, Santa Rosa, those are all places that are real good high well-being places. Go there. Learn from them. Look around. See what they're doing. See what kind of culture that they're creating or have created for themselves that sets people up for success in their pursuit of a life well lived. I think that's a smart strategy for Chico.
Dan Witters, thank you so much. This has been absolutely fascinating. I really appreciate taking the time.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
And we're going to take a really quick break now. We're, you're listening to The Real Issue on KZFR Radio. Don't go away. I have Leslie Layton and I have Ron Toping in the studio. And we're going to talk about those findings here in Chico. You're listening to KZFR here in Chico.
And just like they say, nothing good ever lasts. Well, go on now and kiss it goodbye, but hold on to your lover, 'cause your heart's bound to die. Go on now and say goodbye to our town, to our town. Can't you see the sun setting down on our town, on our town? Good night. Up the street beside the red neon light, that's where I met my baby on one hot summer night. He was the tender and ordered a beer. It's been 40 years and I'm still sitting here. But you know the sun's setting fast, just like they say, nothing could ever last. Go on now and kiss it goodbye, but hold on to your lover, 'cause your heart's bound to die. Go on now and say goodbye to our town, to our town. Can't you see the sun setting down?
And we are back. Iris Dement, Our Town. You're listening to The Real Issue on KZFR Radio. I encourage you, if you just listened to my interview with Dan Witters of Gallup Healthways Rank Index, if you want to send in a comment or a question, you can send your comments to sue@kzfr.org. So we have been talking about the recently released study called State of American Well-Being, which placed the city of Chico seventh from very last place. And we're going to continue on this topic by asking the question, okay, now what? As a community, what do we do with that information? How can we increase the sense of well-being in our own communities? Just to put this in context, Chico placed just above Flint, Michigan. So that gives you a sense of our feeling of well-being, our perception of well-being. So I have joining me in the studio right now are two Chicoans who have some pretty interesting views on how to draw conclusions from these findings. First, I have Leslie Layton, journalist and founder of the news website Chico Soul, which specializes in investigative reporting and cross-cultural journalism, specifically in Northern Sacramento Valley. So she definitely has her finger on the pulse. And I also have local economy activist and a true community builder, Ron Toping. I am really excited to have the two of you here on The Real Issue tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sue.
So let me just start by saying, what's your reaction to that interview with what Dan Witters from Gallup Healthways was talking about, Leslie Layton?
Well, first, I just want to say that the reaction in the community to the poll has been really interesting,
yeah.
And it reminds me a lot of those days when we got the rating from Playboy magazine and Chico State was one of the top party schools in the nation, and everybody said, oh, this isn't fair. And a lot of people said, you know, I know somebody going to a school somewhere else and they party just as hard as we do. And what I think, and not to equate Gallup with Playboy, I think that things like this tend to overgeneralize in some ways, but they tap into something real. And the interview you just did with that guy shows that he used a methodology that there's a lot of people are unhappy about a lot of things in their lives, and that he hit on something, obviously, and especially because we know that Chico ranked low for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's super interesting, and you didn't have time to address with him that anxiety issue.
There were so many other things I wanted to ask him about, but it just got too long, and I knew the two of you were coming in, so I didn't want to keep going.
Yeah.
But yeah, very. I thought it was fascinating in that, when I asked him to describe the methodology, he did it so methodically, where it really is very reliable data. And the fact that Chico is ranked at the very bottom 10 placements indicates that their methodology is reliable. It's
absolutely.
So
it is reliable. And I think the interesting thing is that the communities that are rating high, and I don't know much about Boulder or Naples, but Santa Cruz seems like a town to me where the local government has done a lot of progressive things in the community. And I think it points to the fact that, you know, just having sort of a great park and a great brewery and a university isn't enough. It takes a lot more than that to make a community really thrive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ron Toping, I want to bring you in. I want to get your just general reaction. What hit you? What's your reaction to that?
Well, I mean, at first I was, you know, I was blown away when I read the poll results to begin with, and now after listening to that interview, I'm blown away even more, because it kind of blew my theory about how that could have happened, because it seems like they're so random in their selection and the people that they don't target certain demographics and whatnot, and I mean, my first reaction to it when I read it, and then when I went to their website and I read, you know, some of the methodology and their findings on the Gallup website, you look at the top 10 cities, and most of them are very wealthy cities. You look at the bottom, and there's cities that don't have good economies, essentially, you know, as far as nationwide. You know, Flint, Michigan, you know, places like that. So my first conclusion was, everything's attached to money in the society, and that's a tragedy, really. But after listening to him, it's like, well, okay, it's not quite as simple as that,
right.
Really. But it's still, you can still point to that in a sense.
If you have a lot of money, it's easier to sort of take care of your needs. It seems like one of the problems in Chico is a faltering economy and a lot of people who maybe are stressed out about their personal finances.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's exactly what I concluded.
Let me jump in here real quick. Go on.
I was going to say, I think there's a reason, and that his explanation for everything kind of blows this out of the water a little bit, but I think there's one big reason why Chico, I think it ranked 21.8% poverty level, which is really high in the country, mm-hmm. which I read on their website. And I think one of the reasons for that is there's a lot of people in Chico that stay here because they can live without having to have a lot of money.
It's a pretty fun place.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a fun place. You don't have to have a ton of money. I mean, housing's gotten a little expensive, but it's not comparatively. It's the cost of living here is not very high comparatively, especially to some of the cities that rank very high in well-being.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that might be one of the reasons why, you know, if you look at the economics of Chico, why it seems so low. Plus, it is a college town. And we do have a lot of small local businesses that try to employ people, and they can't afford to pay the better wages, the higher wages and things like that.
You know, I think that we can't really account for it at this moment, but I think, you know, I'm guessing that one of the reasons that our median income in Chico, which is lower than the national median income, I think there's a lot of people that their income is not actually passing through the government. So I think there's a lot of, I think we can look at that. The thing about the study that really blew me away is, and I'm trying to sort of take it back, Ron Toping, I know that you're one of the people, and I want to ask you to comment on it, this idea of community well-being so deeply connected to the wealth of a community and this sense of the job market and that kind of thing. One of the things that blew me away is 65% agree in Chico, but that means 35% disagree with having a sense of purpose in their daily life, using their particular skills to something that they think is important. And 35% of respondents in the Chico area said, no, I don't feel like that. And I'm wondering, like, let's kind of make it up. I mean, I'm totally open to anything we want to bring up here is, you know, one of the things is we have in this nation is we have such a deep connection to our job and our purpose is our job. Well, we have a very strange job market here in Chico, and it's not so I work for 40 years and I save and I save and I save and then I retire and then I die. We do it very differently here. And so is that at the expense of having a sense of purpose every day? It's interesting. We're a very unique community.
Well, it makes me question who answered the phone. You know, and actually answered the questions when they answered the phone.
But it is a random sample.
And like you were saying during the interview that you recorded, Chico's a close-knit community. People care about each other in Chico. At least the circles that I stay in, and I know that you socialize in, which isn't a super broad section of Chico, but it's a good section of Chico that had a lot of respondents within that circle. That poll probably would have come out a lot different. I believe so anyways.
Well, Leslie Layton, you made a comment. One of the reasons that I invited you into the studio is because you made a comment last week, and you sort of took it political, which I'm always up for. You had made a comment, I think, on Facebook. You wondered whether this disconnect between, you know, as we responded to that, to the results of the findings of that survey, you know, a lot of us said, God, I have a very close community. What is this, you know, not having a close-knit community? And you made a comment about maybe this is sort of similar to the Democratic Party feeling or having a disconnect to the base. I mean, is it, yes, I'm in my tight little, you know, community and my life is going pretty well, where I'm blinded to so many other folks in my community that just don't have that connection.
And when I made the comment, I was thinking not as much about social connection as about economic well-being. And so I don't know if it answers the social disconnect problem. I think there's a social disconnect problem in Chico. I think people oftentimes feel very isolated and alienated here. I think they have trouble finding community, and I think it takes a long time to feel at home here. But economically, I just know so many people who don't have something that they find satisfying to do in terms of purpose and in terms of economics, and I think it's a tough place to come. I agree with Ron that it's a fun place to live, but if it were this fun, I think people would have answered the questions differently. So I think there's a lot of people who are well-educated here and can't find jobs, and there are some good jobs, but because there aren't enough, they tend to get sort of doled out as perks. I think a lot of people are completely baffled as to how to get a good job here. And you can argue that this isn't a region that will support limitless numbers of good jobs, but a lot of people are here through no choice of their own. They didn't choose to come here because it's beautiful. They're here because of family or because they were born here or because they're just here. You know, I don't think everybody chose to be in Chico.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Ron Toping, I know you're going to say something.
Well, yeah, the question of purpose. There's a difference between, how can I put this? The paradigm we're in, this economy we're in, this society that, you know, the base of this society's economy, job market, and whatnot is it's based on you're supposed to be productive. And when you don't feel productive, then, you know, what purpose am I serving or whatever? And you know, productivity equates to a good earning and making more money and having a better life. And we value production more than we value service and being useful to other people. So when the whole job market revolves around, like, I have to have this job and I have to feel productive every day, and if I don't, and if I'm like the type kind of person that wants to serve people more, then just be a productive number, another productive cog in the wheel, then, and I can't find anything to do, I'm not going to feel very good all the time. Mm-hmm. And even people that end up a productive cog in the wheel have a sense of, I don't really have any purpose. I just do this thing.
I'm a cog maker.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. I just do this thing. So they're not real happy with their job. And so I mean, I can see why a question like that would come out the way it comes right. out.
But I wasn't just talking about jobs. I mean, Santa Cruz, for example, and I just learned this recently, they built like this warehouse where young artists can live and work. I mean, this is the extent to which they support the arts. Mm. Mm-hmm. They do things to support an arts community. And maybe it's because it's such a wealthy place, or maybe it's just because they have a more proactive local government. I don't know. But I know that I know a lot of artists in Chico. I know a lot of people who want to do nonprofit work. And, you know, there's a lot of support for nonprofits, but there isn't enough. I mean, there isn't enough for a lot of artists to do the kind of work they want to do. And I don't know that the city government has done much in many years to support those kinds of things.
And that's the kind of thing I'm talking about, like this thing with the jobs market versus, you know, the status quo job market versus people being able to just find a niche that is purposeful, that they enjoy doing, to serve others in their community, and that being valued rather than having a job and making money and paying your taxes and owning a home and, you know, all of those things that are the measure of success in this country, rather than being an artist and living in an artist loft and you might have to eat leftover food, whatever it is. You know, you don't have to earn a lot of money.
But, Ron, earn a lot of money if you're a single mother of four children. I mean, and there are a lot of people in the community who are in that position. And so that's what I meant when I made the comment about the disconnect with the Democratic Party. I think a lot of times people on the left are thinking about themselves when they make those kinds of comments. And I don't mean that in any offensive way to you, mm-hmm. but, you know, I just don't think it's like true for many, many people. I think it's a choice to say, I don't need much money and I'm going to be an artist. And not everybody can make that choice. Some people aren't in a position to do it. And when we had the conversation on Facebook, I made the comment that, you know, when my husband and I hired a student at Butte College to help us do a project in the yard, I was shocked. I mean, this was a kid who was trying to support his mother and complete the firefighting course at Butte College, and he couldn't pay for the books. He couldn't find a way to make enough money to get through firefighting at Butte. And that's a problem.
Mm-hmm. And let me just jump in and say, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Real Issue. I have Ron Toping in the studio with me, as well as Leslie Layton. And we are talking about the fact that Chico, the city of Chico, scored once again, another year, scored in one of the lowest places, seventh from last of 189 cities across the country in terms of well-being. And a report was just released. It's called State of American Well-Being. There's a subtitle, but I've lost it. So, you know, one of the things that the interesting part, I think what Ron you're talking about and what Leslie you're talking about as well, is different pieces of this larger study, because what the study tests for are five different, as they put it, five different interrelated components, which I've lost that too, but they include things like purpose, a sense of purpose, well-being, financial personal relations and physical. And I think the two of you are talking about different aspects, but one of the things I want to bring us back to is one thing that Dan Witter, the director of research, pointed out was he said that the purpose and using strengths was, as he put it, the bell call of the larger study, is that if a community has a high percentage of what people say a sense of purpose using their skills, then it tends to reflect in the rest of the study. So I thought that was kind of interesting, and I think it brings in what you're talking about, Leslie, is if people are financially strapped and can't even buy books to get through firefighting school, then they're not going to achieve that sense of purpose and meaningfulness in their jobs. And so, I think it's interesting that Chico scored relatively low, quite low, in the sense of purpose. And so what I want to get to in the last few minutes is, what do we do now? Ron, I know you have a lot of alternative models that you're playing with. And Leslie, you're deep in the community, understanding some of the woes in our local community. So what do we do next?
That is a really good question. I think he touched on a really good aspect that I was thinking about when I first read the whole thing last week, was that, you know, people don't realize what's really here in Chico. I mean, it sounds like even people that live in Chico don't really realize the treasures that are already here. And he talked about how the high well-being places really do a good job reaching out to people to bring them in to the arts, things that are going on in the community, and different aspects that help with that kind of well-being in a community. And perhaps Chico isn't doing enough of that. Because that was one of my first thing that went off in my head when I read that. I was like, who did they interview? Mm-hmm. It must be people that don't really know Chico that mm-hmm. well or something, or don't have an appreciation for really what's here. So how do we raise that appreciation?
And I think what you're talking about earlier is, how can you seek out the amazing Bidwell Park or the downtown area and hang out leisurely at the cafe, you know, on a Friday afternoon when you can't get through school? Because you do. So it's all of those things. It's that basic economic lacking here in our community, which often, I think, as he pointed out, leads to this larger sense of purpose and well-being. And so, Ron Toping, I think you're exactly right. Leslie Layton, what do you think we need to do with this information?
I think we need to demand or work toward what we want in this city, and we need to get involved in land use decisions, in how the city spends its money, in issues that, like sanctuary. Santa Cruz is a sanctuary city. It's done a lot to make minority communities feel included and welcome and safe. I think a lot of it has to do with local politics, and it's important for us to be active when we're updating the general plan. It's important for us to work together as a community when issues like sanctuary are being discussed, and when issues like the city budget, which is a really difficult kind of thing to want to sit through. I mean, who wants to go to a city council meeting and listen to 4 hours of budget discussion? But somehow it has to be done if we're going to improve the well-being individual
and
business in Chico.
And Leslie Layton, you're bringing up, you know, getting more involved in our local politics. One thing, I got a message that says the general plan is up for review on March 21st at the city council meeting. And this person wrote to me and said the developers and the Chamber of Commerce want to make big changes that she's not sure that maybe listeners of KZFR would appreciate. Things like the quality of life, affordable housing, environmental issues are all laid out in the city general plan, and that's up for review next week. And so if nothing else, we need to know what's in it as we think about how we move our community forward as sort of a, you know, what was it, a bell caller?
Bell call.
Bell call. Okay. So last words for Owen to break the green line. Yes, I think we need to pay attention to the green line as we review and update the general plans. So in our last, boy, in the last 20 seconds, each one of us give, doesn't the time go by fast? A little too fast sometimes. So last 20 seconds, give us your words of wisdom from both of you. Ron Toping. Leslie Layton.
I really enjoyed the discussion. I enjoyed hearing you, Ron, and I enjoyed hearing that guy from Gallup. And I think it's really interesting. We should all think about this. We should make sure the university and the college are doing outreach into this community and making their programs accessible and putting on the kinds of programs we want. And also, I think that we have to do a much better job, those of us who want progressive government, in not assuming that everybody can get along in the kind of lifestyle that doesn't require a lot of money. I think some people really do. We have to talk about jobs. We have to talk about jobs. And we don't do it, those of us who are progressives, enough. And I think that's part of the problem in the nation right now.